But thanks for being here tonight. We're going to step back into a series that I'm doing for a few Wednesday nights, called it Living with Awareness of the Unseen Realm. And I think I have a graphic back there you can pop up for me. And we will just step back into that tonight. A number of years ago, Mickey and I were making our way back from the Southern Baptist Convention. That was still when I was pastoring in Baptist Church. We were making our way back from the annual convention. I think it was in Texas somewhere. But I do remember that we stopped off the interstate in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And you'll have to remember, this is prior to me being filled with the Holy Spirit and believing as I do now. But I've always loved the Word throughout the years of my ministry. And we pulled off at a McDonald's and to get a lunch. Mickey and I were together, and while I was standing in line to order, I struck up a conversation with a gentleman who was in the line by me, and come to find out he pastored there in Lake Charles, and just a little impromptu conversation and asking about one another's ministry. And he pastored a Spirit-filled non-denominational church, and he just got to sharing some things with me. And we placed our orders, got our food, and Mickey and I made our way to the car because we wanted to get back on the highway. But when we stepped out of the restaurant on the way to the car, I was just overcome with, something about talking to this man was just such a blessing. And I know he's not, quote, in our camp, but he had a lot of joy on his life, and just really enjoyed that. Got in the car, and before I could turn the key, I told Mickey, I said, I'm going to go back in for a little bit. If you just go ahead and eat, I'm going to go back in, and I just want to talk to him some more. And I did. I went back in, and I found where he's seated at the table, and I said, I hate to intrude upon your meal, but before I left, I just wanted to continue our conversation a moment. And we didn't dive really deep into anything. But when I left there, I told Mickey, and I shared her some things about his church, and they don't even have to do this, or, you know, they do it this way. And I was like, you know, this is so, some of the things were just so refreshing. They were challenging. He was sharing scripture. He didn't get into anything about spiritual gifts or anything like that. It was just the joy of the Lord. And now I have a better understanding, a level of anointing that was on his life, that it just kind of awakened something in me. And so we hit the interstate and came back home to Alabama to the church, Mississippi at that time, where I was pastoring. And that was that. Fast forward a number of years after I had been filled with the Holy Spirit, after we'd been called to pastor here in the Florence area, and I was pastoring at that time at Faith Tabernacle that became Faith Church before I left, but we had some conventions and so forth. And one year I met someone, and they actually attended the church of this man that I had connected with at the McDonald's. And they when I was asking where they were, they told me the name, and though I had not thought of him in quite some time, I remembered the name. And I thought, my goodness, Lord, that was like, you know, at that time, that would have been 10 years, almost 10 years earlier. God was working through his Holy Spirit to plant a seed in my heart. And I could go through a series of things that happened to me over the years that just opened my heart inch by inch, or maybe I should say millimeter by millimeter, to finally become open that the Lord had more for me than I had experienced and still does. These are divine appointments. I didn't know what language to wrap around it at the time, but the Holy Spirit was moving upon my heart and prompting me and nudging me in a direction. You know, and sometimes we think it's always, well, he ties a rope around you and drags you and gets you there, you know, whatever. But usually it's over time, because God is so gracious, and he is so kind, and he is so merciful, and he is absolutely the most patient person that you'll ever meet. And he takes his time with us. When I got filled with the Spirit, he had to check me. He had to tap the pedal on my life because I was wanting everybody else to get what it took me a while to arrive at. And one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me and Father just said, how long did it take before you really dove in? How long was I patient with you? I said, okay, I understand. I understand. I've got to be patient. I've got to see people where they are and have the wisdom to know how big a step we can take right now, how much to put on the plate right now, how much they can handle right now. Sometimes I think we may do a disservice to the ministry of the Holy Spirit by not paying more attention to Him in situations like this. I know people who've been drove away. It's like a covey of quail. They've just been flushed and they're not going to roost again right there. It's just, you know, we have to be sensitive. And this comes back to this theme of living with an awareness of the unseen realm. Last week, I was back on John chapter 5 where Jesus said, and I mentioned this again Sunday, He said, most assuredly I say to you, verse 19, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. I won't spend too much time revisiting here, but Jesus teaches us that He could see what the Father's doing. This was something that took place in the realm of the Spirit. He was moved and directed and received instruction from the Holy Spirit, just like we do. And that's the way He related to the Father. And He says He could do nothing except He did it that way. So He was very tuned in, very conscious of what the Holy Spirit was saying, doing. And last week I shared with you that we need to learn to hear in the spirit realm, think in the spirit realm, see in the spirit realm, speak from the spirit realm, and be moved into action in the spirit realm. And we covered those things last week. Tonight, with this idea of divine appointments, again, this is about being sensitive and joining God in what He is doing. Even in the Old Testament, when Moses, after he's been exiled for 40 years from Egypt, as a quote son of Egypt, exiled 40 years, the Bible says a burning bush was there, and he turned aside and went to the bush. And because he was willing to turn aside and check it out, he met God there in a significant way and got his call. So as an application, there are times in our life when spiritually we may just get a little wind or sense of something seems to be happening here. And we've got to tune in to where we can turn aside and step into that. And sometimes you may do that and you get there and you're like, and nothing happens. That, you know, none of us probably operate at 100%. I know I don't. But often when you do feel the prompting and it is the Holy Spirit and you step into it, the step you take in obedience to the prompting will often position you for additional revelation, additional instruction. You'll have more awareness of what you need to do now. And almost like checkers on a checkerboard, some of you may be tuned into chess, but I'm more of a checker guy, you know, that it's kind of that one move after the other, and then finally, boom, what God's wanting to do is crowned, and you know, oh, this is where the king's working, so to speak. So that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. And there's numbers of examples in the scripture, and I'm just going to briefly go over a few of these. For instance, in John chapter 4, I'll only read just verse 4 out of John 4. Speaking of Jesus, it says, but He needed to go through Samaria. He and the disciples were going in one direction, and it says, but He needed to go. The KJV says, He said, I must needs go through Samaria. There was a necessity that was awakened within Him. He needed to go to Samaria. Well, what's the big deal about that? Well, it was, you didn't go through Samaria as a Jew. You avoided it. It wasn't customary. It wasn't traditional. He's saying, to be obedient, I only do what I see the Father doing. Next chapter, he gets into that, but here he's operating in it. He realized there was something that needed to happen in Samaria, and he needed to be there. He arrives at a well. A woman meets him. You know the story. He ministers to her. He gets words of knowledge. He has a teaching moment. Next thing she knows, she's going back to the village. It's like she becomes an evangelist. She brings the town out, and they're honoring Jesus. Though back in Jerusalem, you know, they're chasing him to hurt him. So Jesus modeled this for us, and you see that on many occasions where he would, one thing would be happening, but he would pause and he would engage something else that was going on. Those divine appointments and divine assignments that come because we are aware of the unseen realm. We're conscious of what the Holy Spirit is doing. Another example we find in the early church, and I like this one in Acts 8:26. Philip has been in Samaria, and a full-scale revival, awakening, transformational occurrences are happening. Miracles are happening. And in the middle of that, in verse 26, I'll read a few verses here for you. Acts 8:26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying..." Now he's getting an assignment here from an angel of the Lord. Now, we don't know exactly what that looked like in real time. It's very likely that there was actually an angelic appearance where the angel spoke to him. The word, literally the word angel in the Greek, angelos, means a messenger. And often in the New Testament, you see it is that the Lord delivers messages through angels. You see this in the Old Testament too. I say often, but there are occasions when this happened, and it happened to Philip. I believe there's times when there might be angelic messengers. You may not necessarily see the angel, but you're hearing the voice. And, you know, I think that can happen in different ways. We're not told exactly how it unfolded, but we are told that Philip got the message from the angel of the Lord. And this could also be, there are times when this can be a reference to the activity of Jesus as well. I mean, in the spirit realm, God can use angels. God can do it through His Holy Spirit. The Lord can just speak with His voice personally, directionally, like He spoke over Jesus. "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased," as He did at the Transfiguration. "This is my Son, listen to Him." You see that. Jesus spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus. But Philip here, the angel of the Lord, spoke to Philip, the angel that's of the Lord. He spoke to Philip saying, "Arise and go toward the south down the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." Now, in the natural, I would probably be prone if this happened. Of course, the angel of the Lord, if you have, you know, he's appearing there and you get that, that kind of settles it, right? Hopefully. But what he's being asked to do is not logical. He's in the middle of a move of God. And all he's getting is, "I'm sending you to the desert." You know? Apart from the angel of the Lord part, you might think, "I need to rebuke the devil. He's trying to separate me from what God's doing here and taking me out into a barren place." But as often we find in our life, sometimes we are led into the barren place, the desert place, because God has something that He wants to do, so it becomes a fruitful place. And what happens, many of you know the story, Philip goes, given this direction, it's a very specific word where to go. So it says, "So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. Very specific here. This is not a tall tale. This is a literal person. It's a lot of specific detail. This person had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. That tells us a lot about him. I won't go into that. Obviously, he had a heart to seek after God. Now God's seeking after him. And he sends Philip from Samaria out into the desert. Now notice the timing. Philip got it right. So he arose and went. It was one of those times like, need you to do this, you need to do it now. He arrived at the right place at the right time, and then we see a very wonderful thing happen. The Ethiopians reading from the book of Isaiah. He's a man of means. He even had a personal scroll of Isaiah's prophecy. And Philip comes alongside of him, explains it, preaches Jesus. The Ethiopian's baptized, and when he comes up out of the water, pretty neat thing happened. The scripture indicates that the Spirit caught Philip away, and he was found at Azotus. Implied in that was he didn't hitchhike on the Greyhound. I mean, he was transported. I believe this was a supernatural phenomenon. Just from the language that's employed. It's like the Ethiopian comes up, he's been baptized, and there's Philip. There he's not. He's gone. And he appears somewhere else. There's been a few stories I've read before of this kind of thing happening. That's no problem for God to do something like that. So, leaving Samaria where all these spiritual fireworks were happening, Philip ended up having quite an encounter with God. This is miraculous. But look at what God's up to. Now, he's got a high-level governmental official headed back to Ethiopia with the scroll of Isaiah and the revelation of what Isaiah was prophesying when he was talking about Jesus. He's going back with the gospel into Ethiopia. And you can trace historically, there's very antiquated writings of Christians in Ethiopia, which is in the northeastern part of Africa. And as a matter of fact, we have a family here in our congregation, Erbo and Mesrith Erbo, who are from Ethiopia. Just a couple of months or so ago, they dedicated one of their babies up here. You may remember them. But we have the privilege of having some of the fruit of Philip's ministry. He carried the gospel to Ethiopia. Now we have a son and daughter of God from Ethiopia that's part of our church family. That's kind of neat. So another example, Acts 13, when the church at Antioch's gathered together and pray, you know, there are prophets and teachers. And when we get to verse 2, it says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Notice, here they were praying and they were fasting, and because they had positioned themselves, they were very aware of the spiritual atmosphere. And I mean, they're praying, they're listening, they're seeking. God launches one of the most important missionary endeavors there's ever been. And the Holy Spirit said, separate Paul and Barnabas for the work I've given them, and they commission them and send them out on a mission trip. And then if you follow them, and I'll bring an example up in a moment, you see that all along the way, they're living with an awareness of where they're going to go next. They trusted the Holy Spirit to literally guide and govern every step of their trip. And it's amazing. We're going to look at a scripture in just a moment that I preached on a year or two ago here on Wednesday night. But I want to dip back into it because it goes along with this thing of living with an awareness of the unseen realm. But the church at Antioch, the people were seeking to hear from God. And they knew that here is a plan God has for these two men's lives. And we're going to commission them and send them out to do it. Now that's interesting. Here, you don't necessarily see Paul and Barnabas, and I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, but saying, hey guys, we're going to go out and go to some of these nations that's never heard. Jesus told us to go into all the world, so you pray for us. That would have been all right. But instead they are gathering and they're seeking God. Lord, we're gathering here and we don't know what they were praying, but we know what God ended up saying. Because they were praying, they got instruction. And often, this is so important for us to learn to do in our families, in our churches, in our nation. Seek God. You know, position yourself to get some direction from God about what we ought to do. You won't have any trouble finding people that'll be happy to tell you what you need to do, where you need to go. They'll tell you in a minute, you know. But Jesus said he only did what he saw the Father doing. So another way we could say it is, he only went where the Father sent him. And if we just incorporated this more, and I'm up here teaching it tonight, I want to live by this, but I want to do this more, to be more sensitive in every decision and everything we do. And too many times we can miss it if we don't inquire of the Lord. You see that often in the Old Testament, right? I mean, you lose some major battles because you didn't ask God whether or not you should fight it. Maybe that would be a good one for us to use. Lord, is this a battle I need to fight? Do I need to give my attention to this battle? This is, have you ever had a battle in your marriage you shouldn't have fought? Well, yeah, there you go. Might have avoided it if you had thought to ask the Lord. I'm glad I've never fell prey to that, you know. But the church at Antioch was that kind of church because we get this snapshot of one of their gatherings. And the Holy Ghost speaks to them. And here goes the mission team. Waterloo's, how far is Waterloo, Mike? I know you live out that way. 25, 30 minutes from here? Okay, about 35 miles from here. And of course, there's a lot of history in Waterloo. You're aware of the Native Americans that were put on ships and shipped out from there, from the Trail of Tears. But I want to share another story. Some of you may have heard me share this years ago. I was doing, occasionally I go to the Florence Library and just do some deep diving on our area. Usually it'll be something the Lord's laid on my heart. And back then, I was doing some research on a certain thing and it led me into some information about another thing, so I want to tell you this story. And it just was such a blessing to know this from our region that this happened. There was a doctor and his wife that moved, I think it was from Virginia. I had to go back and look at my notes from a while back because this story came to me earlier today to remind me this would be a good place to tell this story. And they moved from another state to Waterloo and became the doctor there. Lived there for a couple of years, I think it was. And Waterloo is a real small place, still is. The wife of that doctor had a sister who lived in Georgia at the time. Her sister had really been struggling with surrendering to the Lord's purpose for her life. God had been laying some things on her heart and she needed to get away and get some discernment about what God would have her to do with her life. So she decided she would visit her sister in Waterloo, Alabama. So she traveled to Waterloo and she spent 2 weeks one summer in Waterloo. This would have been like in the, if my memory serves me right, the late 1800s, early 1900s, right in that range. And she was there for 2 weeks, and it was in Waterloo, Alabama, that God called her to the foreign mission field of China. Her name was Lottie Moon. Now, those of us who are Baptists, we love Lottie Moon. Because every year there are tens and tens of millions of dollars received in a Christmas offering across the Southern Baptist Convention. And 100% of that goes to foreign missionaries on foreign fields. All in honor of Lottie Moon. They call it the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Because Lottie Moon got on a ship and sailed to China as a Baptist missionary and gave her life for those people there. And so we honor her tonight. But she became aware of God's plan for her life and dared and had the courage and boldness to leave a pretty well-to-do situation she had going to go live in what those days would be called the heathen and pour her life into them. And there were a few people that are well-known missionaries that poured their life into China. And today, the underground church in China, some of it's more of it's above ground than used to be. But it's amazing what God is still doing in China. And some of the tributaries and roots of that move was birthed as a woman spent time on her knees in a little wooden house in Waterloo, Alabama. Got called of God to the mission field. I think I include that story in the book I wrote about women. You know, woman who God says she is. So we find that's very important. And I know the times I've been to Guatemala, Mark and Robin live this way. We often, I think, happened again this when they just got back from trip. They go down there and they find out, just as they're out ministering, the Holy Spirit will lead them to a new place they haven't been before. And there's people with all these needs. And then the great need to know about Jesus. So God bless you guys for living out what we read in Acts 13 and modeling how Jesus said that we're to live our lives. Another one, Acts 16. Let's take a few moments and look in that one. This is probably the favorite one that I want to share with you tonight. It's just really exciting to read this, to see how Paul and his missionary team, how they live day by day. Let me read the verses, beginning with verse 6. And by the way, when you mention Acts 16, you start thinking about some of the exciting things that happened there in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer and all those kind of things. Listen to these verses. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, book of Galatians, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Forbidden's a strong word here. When I preached on this a year or two ago, I talked about the forbidding ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, have we been called to preach the gospel? Yes, right? Well, that's what they're going to do. Preach the word in Asia. Holy Spirit said, What's up? Remember, Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. Yes, we're to preach the gospel to all the nations. But if you put all this together, the Holy Spirit's going to be moving on people and calling them and sending them and covering the bases. If everybody will just be governed by the Holy Spirit, bases are going to be covered. The nations are going to be reached. And we see Paul modeling this. Now, did he have good intentions when he's headed toward Asia with the gospel? Absolutely. So this tells me something else. When they left Antioch, they didn't have a 2-year plan. okay, we're going to leave here, and we're going to go to Phrygia, then we're going to go over here to Asia, and we're going to, you know. And if they had it, they at least did it with a pencil. And said, Holy Spirit, you're in charge of the eraser. Right? And we see that here. Now they had gone through Phrygia and so forth, and they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Okay? The Lord don't want us to go that way. Verse 7. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit did not permit them. So, going to Asia, Now, what's interesting to me, how did the Holy Spirit forbid them? How did they know the Holy Spirit was not permitting them to go to Bithynia to preach there? They had an acute awareness of the Holy Spirit's presence in their life. When I preached on this, you know, we went through a series of things of how this might have looked. Sometimes it's when you lose your peace. Paul said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. You're going all of a sudden, wait a minute, I don't have peace. Just time out. I don't think the Lord wants us to go any further here. Okay? Well, we'll go this way. Whoop, no peace. It might have looked like that. It might have been the Lord just spoke to them. You know how you hear sometimes internally the Holy Spirit just says, don't go there. Don't do this. I've had that kind of thing happen. Most of the time it's more of a knowing, a holy hunch, a strong prompting that you learn over time that when that happens, that's the Holy Spirit saying, you know, put it in neutral here. We need to talk. Okay? And then sometimes it just may be a timing. It's not for now. Sometimes it may be, no, it's not that way at all. I've shared with you before, Mickey and I, we packed up everything we had and owned and sold our place and we moved to Memphis, Tennessee to go to seminary, to go to the foreign mission field. That's, our hearts were pure. That's, we were leaving everything behind to go. I'd already had a nation on my heart that to be praying about. Maybe this is it. But when we get to seminary, so many things started happening. We got introduced to so many things we weren't aware of, possibilities, and but by the time I finished that 3-year program, then we knew strongly, no, the Lord's calling us to pastor churches and build strong missionary-minded churches. That was to be a part of our call and to be involved on mission trips and so forth. And so we've tried to remain true to that. But again, it was a kind of a redirect. And sometimes it's a growing awareness, this is what we need to do. Sometimes it's a start one, like, oh. It's just, and we learn these things by walking with the Lord. Sometimes you're reading a scripture, the Holy, and you know, Lord, you've been praying, Lord, I don't know if I'm supposed to go on this trip. I don't know if I'm supposed to do this. I don't know if I'm supposed to make this decision. I just need you to let me know, Lord, if you're going to permit me to do this or not. And the next day you're reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit forbade them from preaching the word. And you feel something. It's like the Lord can speak through that word. Oh, that's a word for me now. The Lord's giving me the same direction. That kind of thing can happen. It can happen a lot of different ways. I won't spend any more time on that, but let's keep reading. It says, so they were forbidden in two different places. Verse 8, so passing by Mysia, they came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now things are clearing up. You know, I don't know what's going on here. So Lord, we tried that, we tried this. You know, they're just kind of like, okay, what do we do? Then the Lord steps in and gives revelation through a vision. And notice this, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A lot of times it's dreams in the night. Here's a vision in the night. Sometimes it can be a vision in a dream. There are times when an angel can come in a dream and communicate to you. You find that particularly in Joseph in the New Testament. Here, a vision it came to Paul in the night. Does this mean that the Lord woke him up and he has this vision? Or does this mean that he's just laying there in the night, you know, going to sleep, and he has this vision? Or did it, the vision in the dream? It just says we had a vision in the night, and it says, a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Verse 10, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. They got their green light. They didn't have maybe a lot of clarity why they couldn't go to Asia or why they couldn't go to... They just knew they weren't supposed to do that. But now they get real crystal clear clarity of why they need to go to Macedonia. They've had a vision from the Lord, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. By the way, this caused the gospel to be carried into Europe, to the West, that we've all been able to be blessed by, instead of going to the East. This is the way God led them. So that's, it's just really, really neat how the Holy Spirit can do that. So I would just say, as we talk about living with an awareness of the unseen realm, learn to pay attention to the level of peace, to these promptings. Sometimes, I don't know how to say it other than there may be a spiritual distraction or a spiritual redirection. I know a lot of times, as far as just seeing things in the Spirit, you may just see it. Sometimes you may just see almost like a flicker of light or something like that. It's kind of like that burning bush. You step into that by faith, and you focus on that and concentrate on it. And sometimes more revelation will come. You just learn these things. I know I've been in services before where I would like be directed, and like I would see something. I had this happen the other day. I was at a funeral service, and Karen Wheaton was singing one of the songs, and behind her, I could just see a glowing light behind her. Of course, I began to pray, but I concluded this is just the presence of the Lord on her. It's beautiful how the Lord was moving as she sang, and shared that with the people, the family, and the people that were there. And so you learn to kind of pay attention to those things. And when they happen, if you'll quieten yourself and just ask the Lord, is there something that you're wanting me to know? Is there something you're wanting me to see? Don't try to make it happen. Just position yourself to hear. You know, like in the natural, you're sitting at your house at night and you're maybe watching TV or whatever, and you hear something outside. What do you usually do? Turn the TV down. If you hear something else, what do? You go over, turn the light on. You investigate it. And so we need to be more aware of the Holy Spirit and step into that and let Him lead us. If we have the attitude, well, if He writes, it's a hand writing on the wall or an angel stands in front of me, you know, but no, a lot more times than not, it's not going to be that way. It's going to be because we are positioning, we're listening, we're observing. So you need to be observant, you need to be obedient, you need to be bold, and you need to be ready. And then let the Lord have His way. Let Him lead you. And if you miss it, then forgive me, Lord. You know, or we've missed it with someone. Say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm trying to follow the Holy Spirit. That's the way we learn. And that's the way that we grow. I was in an airport a few years back. I was making my way back here from Washington State. And I think it was the Dallas airport. And I was in between flights. I was waiting on my next flight, you know, in the gate area. And I looked across the room and I kept being drawn. And I've noticed this before, that a lot of times if you're looking and you just keep being drawn back to the same area, the same person, just slow down and just wait and pay attention. And there was a young lady, and it looked like she was a group, turned out to be her family. And I just kept being drawn to her. She was a lovely young lady, and that wasn't why I was looking at her. I was being drawn. And as I looked, then a word started coming to me. Well, Lord, I don't know this person. This is an airport, you know. I don't want to miss my flight because they need to take me and check me out, you know. But it was just so strong. And so I walked over and I just stepped and engaged them. I said, I hate to be intrusive, but I said, I just want to share something. I said, I feel like the Lord is showing me something for this young lady. And, I'd introduce myself and, this was her parents, and I said, would it be all right if I share with your daughter? And they said, yeah. And so I began to share with her. I said, I feel like the Lord's telling me, and this was the summary of what I shared. The Lord's telling me that you've been through some distressing, discouraging situation, and you're really battling discouragement and disappointment. But the Lord wants you to know that He's at work in this, just to keep your eyes on Him. I didn't know personally if she was a believer or not, other than what I was getting. And I said, keep your eyes on Him, that He's going to work this out, and you're going to be able to, you're going to be celebrating. And I said, so I hope this encourages. It's a real simple word, encouraging. Her mother grabbed me, but she said, sir, I said, you don't realize. I said, we're Christians, we're believers, we prayed, but we're on our way back from an Olympic trials event, and our daughter did not make the team. And so she's very disappointed, and she's been very upset. And she said, this is just a treasure for us. So that was just one of those God moments, a divine moment. And I'm always amazed at how much God loves people. I had the time, and she had the need, and the Holy Spirit allowed me to partner with them to encourage her. And it meant more to her because it was a total stranger. They didn't know her or anything about her situation. So they knew that the Lord was just reminding them He was still the Lord. And so I believe we can be used in this way. And I'm grateful to be a part of a fellowship where you live this way as well. This is the way we're called to live our lives. We need to live with an awareness of the unseen realm. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's stand together. It may be tonight that you're seeking direction, or you're just wanting to be available to the Lord. It'd be a good time just to position your heart for that. And sign up for duty. Report for duty, so to speak. I will be here, and if some of our staff, elder workers, would just be available, we'll be up here, be glad to pray with you after we dismiss tonight. I appreciate so much you coming, being here on Wednesday night. We'll meet again on Sunday morning, 8, 9, and 10:30. I pray that you have a great week next week on Thanksgiving week, and that between now and then, that you have some divine appointments, some assignments. You and the Holy Spirit partner together to bless someone. Sometimes it's as simple as a call, a card, a note, a little conversation. Sometimes a smile can change someone's day. I think it boils down to our just being available. So, Father, tonight we declare over our lives, John 5:19, that with Jesus, we only want to do what we see you doing. We come to you in the name of Jesus tonight and say, as you led him, through the Holy Spirit, lead us. We know you will. Lord, help us not to miss those moments. Help us to be dialed in, tuned in, synced in to the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, help us to see God things happening, God encounters, divine appointments. Lord, help us to be open, to be led in whatever way you would choose. We thank you for dreams and visions, for the angelic assignments. We thank you for believers who prophesy and people who are led by the Holy Spirit. And like Paul and his team, Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of Holy Spirit to lead us and sometimes forbid us from going in wrong directions. So we say tonight, Kingdom of God come and will of God be done in our lives. Holy Spirit, have your way. May there be these transformational occurrences happening, Lord, here in Florence through your sons and daughters, across this region, here at Grace House, Lord. And I pray for people that need direction here tonight, Lord, that you would bless them. And we thank you so much, Jesus, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you promised us that the Holy Spirit would never leave us nor forsake us, and that you would work and minister through your bride, your church, our lives, even until the end of the age, bringing about and unleashing kingdom activity. So with this in mind, church, let's go out in Jesus' name, and change the world. Amen. Thanks for being here tonight. We are here. God bless you.